Hey guys, Meg Burridge here, your host of the Kajabiverse podcast and also a Kajabi coach and launch strategist who combines her love of all things Kajabi and digital marketing with family and adventure. I'm an Aussie mum to three young kids, married to a Dutchman and currently living on Anguilla in the Caribbean. I leap out of bed every morning to help others achieve the online success, freedom and flexibility that I am so grateful to have in my own life. In this podcast, we look deep beneath the surface at how some of the most successful Kajabi heroes, the superheroes, if you will, are generating six and seven figures annually and how their strategies can be applied within your online business. This is the Kajabiverse podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this month's episode of the Kajabiverse, where I'm chatting with the one and only joyful contrarian, Kimmy Brown. Now, Kimmy is an online business strategist. She's also my partner in crime for the Heart-Centered Apprentice, and that's a program where we help Kajabi enthusiasts turn their passions and skills into amazing businesses. In today's episode, what we're chatting about is the use of discovery calls in your business, what they are, why you need them, and how to get the most from them. I do warn you, though, that while I was recording this, I was also drinking a giant glass of gin and tonic, so you're probably going to find that this episode is a little bit more lively than most. Hello, lovely Kimmy Brown.
Hello, how are you?
I am so excited to have you on the Kajabiverse podcast today. Now, obviously, you and I go way back, and thankfully I found you when I did because you helped me bring the Heart-Centered Apprentice program to life. But that's actually not what I want to talk to you about today. I have brought you onto the show because I would like to pick your brains about all things discovery calls. Now, before we do that, though, I mean, obviously, I know everything about you. I probably, like, you know, even know your underwear size and stuff. Like, I know everything.
Christmas is fun.
You know, I know your favorite drink. I know where you like to cruise. Like, I know everything. But for those people who do not know anything about the amazing Kimmy Brown, can you share with us a little bit about what it is you do in the online space and who it is that you are helping?
Sure. First of all, I will not be sharing underwear size with anybody.
If anyone's wondering if I actually do know that, I have no idea.
Even though I did leave clothes at your place. So... And you knew they weren't yours. So I'm Kimmy Brown. I have been in this world since 2015. And before 2015, I was in the corporate world for a very long time. And my son got ill, incredibly ill, and to the point where I couldn't keep a 9-to-5 anymore. So I thought, well, let's try virtually. At the time, I didn't know about true virtual world. For people who worked for a large insurance company to help them set appointments, and realized I was quite good at sales and did that for a while. And then in about 2011, other people started realizing I was doing things for other people and they wanted to hire me. And I thought, well, let's do this thing virtual, not like as a virtual employee. Let's try it on my own. So in about 2011, I just started picking up admin VA jobs. So I would start picking up some of that, started making a little money. And then in about 2015, someone that I had worked with in the past came to me and said, Kim, I've got 30 years of knowledge in my head. I need to get it into a course. You know how I think. Can you help me? And thank God I said yes. And I said, sure. And he said, I just bought this new platform thing called a Kajabi. And I said, what the hell is a Kajabi? I didn't even know what it was. I didn't knew nothing about this world. Well, thank God he did, because at the time, 2015, I got to self-teach myself how to go build out courses on Kajabi. And this is before there were instructions. This is before there was Meg. So it's definitely self-taught. But because that person entered my world, I was introduced to the amazing world of online platforms. So I dove in and thought, well, this is where I'm going to have my business. I'm going to learn how to build on all these platforms. And after about the fifth one that I studied, I was like, Kajabi's my thing. Kajabi has my heart. It's just so much simpler. It was so much easier to hand off to a client after the job was done and give them enough instructions they could do it on their own. None of the others were built like that. So of course, once word gets out, that you can do anything in Kajabi, because there wasn't a lot of us in there at the time. Catherine Dove started the group, and she started it more as just like I did, where when I met her and I was her VA for a while, we were all asking each other these questions. Did you figure out how to do this? How do you use this? We're all building in the website pages. I mean, all the things. And over time, she ended up selling it to Kajabi, and now that's the group. But I decided that this was going to be a thing, that I could probably make a little extra money doing this on the side. And at the time, I only needed to make $500 a month to cover my son's life-saving medication. So that's kind of how I started, as a hobby, dabbling. Well, pretty soon, the floodgates opened. And so I was like accidentally fell into this world. And so I said, Kajabi's it. Started making money. And then in 2016 and 17, so when I started everything, I was charging way too little. Didn't know what I was doing.
Taking on clients from hell, I'm sure.
Oh, don't even go there. So you know, when you're new, you take on everybody. And then what I learned was, you don't want to take on everybody. In the beginning, you take on everybody because you don't know what you don't know. And over time, I quickly learned to start filtering people out. And that's kind of where I started coming up with the anti-avatar, who I do not want to work with. But I got to figure out what I did and didn't like to do. So, I mean, it's a mixed blessing. But yeah, along with a lot of horror stories. So then I realized, let's make this a business. And so I started charging a little bit more, but I was just out of control with trying to make things happen and take on all the clients. Luckily, in 2019, MegBridge came into my world as like the Kajabi trainer, because I tried other people on. And the way Meg, I thought I knew Kajabi people. I thought I knew Kajabi, but I did not. Your nuance was amazing. And that's when I really, I got my first business coach, which I had gotten them sooner, and really started thinking about things differently. Like, this could be a thing. And so started charging appropriately, started doing better discovery calls, and started working on my page that really spoke to who I really wanted to work with. And I found for me, that was the magic key, is really good discovery calls, weeding people in and out even before the discovery call, working with who I wanted to. And then, 2021, we started talking about all the people raising their hands in the Kajabi group saying they could help. And we found there were a lot of issues with that. So we started the Heart-Centered Apprentice, which has my heart. I literally do my business so I can play and be in the HCA. I'm just going to say that. That's all it is. It pays for my fix.
It's a passion project, isn't it? HCA is definitely a passion project.
I love it. But what I found in my own business is I was moving from just being an implementer to bringing in all that I had learned in my years of sales. So since 1990, I've been in the world of sales, although not digital. And I was a studier of business. So when I fell into the digital world, I just devoured everything that I could. And I realized that as people were asking me to build things out, I was giving them, first I was helping them plan better. Then I was asking them better questions around their business that helped them see better results in their business. So eventually strategy started creeping in. I didn't realize it. And thank God for a business coach that says, listen to what you're telling people. If you're adding more value, it's not all about charging more, but it's about knowing your worth and really stepping into your CEO self. And I realized, holy cow, I've got kind of a framework here. And so I brought it over to HC to test it on them. And it's been successful. So once I tested it, proved it, and now it's in my own business. With Heart-Centered Apprentice, it's the 6 business pillars of success. For me, it's translated over to where I'm really more of a sales success doctor for conversions. And I've adapted that to where it's a very specific, fit, tailored approach to how someone wants to build their business who's not seeing leads in sales like they are. So it's established people. They've built things out. They're not seeing sales or leads. Let's go in and diagnose what's wrong. And let's do a tailored custom plan. Yes, there's a framework, but it's going to be tailored to you on how you want to build your business. But more importantly, they build it around their life. So it's been changing some people's lives. And I realized this is a thing. And I'm very excited about that. I have goosebumps. I'm very excited helping people with that. Helping them see traction again when they haven't. Having them have hope again. Pulling them back from the brink of burnout and burning it all down. That is awesome. It's a good feeling.
So with the discovery calls, I mean, you started as an implementer and now these days you're really focused pretty much entirely on strategy, helping people with strategy. Do you still use the discovery calls? Would you say you use them more in your business now, or, you know, they've just been an important element of your business all the way through?
They've been an important element all the way through. The call itself has adapted based on the outcome I want. But I would say probably about after just taking people like through email, saying, yeah, they just give me their stuff, I thought I need to start weeding people in and out a little bit better. So I would say within the first year I didn't call them discovery calls. I didn't know what, I was still so new. But I would say, hey, book a call. And we would just talk about, there was no form to it, and just talk about what they wanted, what they needed. And then eventually I realized, well, that's a thing, and kind of made it a little more formal around 2019. It's a game changer as far as I'm concerned when it comes to business. It's not the only way, but for me and the way that I show up, it's the best way.
I mean, what would be the alternative to offering discovery calls? You know, and I already know what you're going to say to this, but go on, tell everybody who is listening. Like, if you're not going to offer a discovery call, how else are you going to secure all these business deals?
Prayer. No, I'm kidding. It depends on your business. When you ask questions, Meg, depends is going to be a really big one because everybody's business is different. But let's say
you're a service provider, you want to build websites.
This world, what is so cool about the digital world now is you can show up any way you want and get clients any way you want. So let's say there's a couple of different ways. You could do just an application, fill out this application, and then I'll decide if I want to work with you or not. And you can send them a payment link, or you could have them buy right on the page. But if you're out there and you're a service provider, and you're the one that really, I mean, whether it's anxiety, whether it's the proverbial phone feels like 10,000 pounds, whether you get tongue-tied, which I did, I still do, I really mess them up. You can actually work with someone who does all that front-end work, and they need you to do the implementing. So let's say somebody is a coach or a strategist, or they are a service provider, let's say in the Kajabi industry, and they're actually doing some of the work. You can come along and do the other part. You could also be a trusted referral partner. So let's say whatever you do. So let's say you're in accounting. That's your what you do, and that's your online business. And for me, I'm a Kajabi specialist. So I help people build out in Kajabi. And when talking with my client, you know, maybe finances come up. Or even as a consultant, finances come up. And I'm going to say, if you're my trusted referral partner, oh my gosh, you really need to talk to Meg. Can I do an introduction? She's going to be able to help you with this piece that I don't provide, but I really think it's going to move you forward. Well, you look like a hero because you've just trusted someone. Meg is thrilled because I've sent someone to her. And if you're doing it right and you set it up correctly, if Meg hires them as a client, I get a little something, something. Vice versa. Meg, let's say she's an accountant. She finds someone's trying to run an online business. And she's like, have you heard of Kajabi? And then she sends them my way. I send her something. So there's so many different ways you can show up. You can collaborate. You can have something in a bundle or a summit where it's just a lead magnet that goes to something that you sell on the page and you never talk to a person. There are so many different ways, but it depends on you and how you want to show up.
I love that. You gave me lots of ideas as you were talking just then. I was like, oh, we need to put together like a circle of people that each do a different thing, this trusted referrals partner thing. That's got legs, Kimmy. I like it.
It's amazing. I have a training. It's coming to the HCA soon.
We probably won't cover it today, but, you know, if you're listening to us and you think becoming a Kajabi specialist sounds like a good idea, you can probably get access to it inside of the Heart-Centered Apprentice program. Yeah, perfect. I mean, for discovery calls, I started off doing them and they worked really, really well. But then actually what I found is that COVID came along and everybody wanted to get online. And I found that I didn't need to have the call to make the sale. You know, I just put the button on the page and, you know, you just wake up in the morning to sales. But I do find now, I don't know if you think I'm imagining it, but I feel like there's this resurgence of discovery calls. Like even in my own business, I'm like, we need to start offering that again, because definitely I think things don't sell in the online space as easily as they did in COVID times. And now, you know, people want that personalized attention. They want to talk to a real person and not feel like the whole sale is automated.
Yes. I don't think you're imagining it. I think since COVID was a blessing and a curse at the same time. From online world, that was fantastic. But things have changed. But what hasn't changed is about the last 4 years, we no longer own the client journey. The client owns their journey. They don't want to be sold, but they love to buy. And for a lot of our businesses, it does make sense just to have a buy button on the page. But there are certain things that we offer that the person needs to know there's a real person behind it. They are so hungry for connection. They want to connect with people. This is, especially if you're talking with people's finances, if you're talking about people's health, if you're building someone's business, that's a personal thing. It's not just a transaction. And what I found is that people do want to have that connection. They want to know if you're going to be their person. And so I do find that there's a bit of a resurgence. Now, for those that are like, oh my gosh, I don't have time to take 5,000 calls. One, I'm so glad you're busy like that. That's fabulous. But like Meg said, some things you don't have to take them on, some that you do. So I find if it's a service-based, I find that it ups your chance of absolutely inviting them to invest.
I guess especially something that's high ticket, right? Like you're not going to do it for every $297 DIY course you created in your business that people can start tomorrow or today. But for something, you know, where it's like a $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 investment, I definitely think, definitely better for the customer because they want to know who they're working yes. with. But as the person who's providing the service or the high ticket coaching, we really want to know that person before we take them on.
Yes, you do. You do not want the energy vampires coming after you. I'm just being blunt, people. If you're in business, you know who I'm talking. Meg has a glass that says, because clients. I'm just saying that her gin goes in.
And when I first started, some of those discovery calls, the discovery call is that perfect opportunity to see the red flags and say no. The challenge is that when you're just getting started and you want the money, even though sometimes you see the red flags, you still say yes. Mm-hmm. And that is something I think that just comes with experience over time. Yes. But now I'm in a position, where thankfully, once you have managed to fill up your books with clients, where you can go, actually, no, I don't think you're going to be the right fit for our team.
It took so much pressure off my shoulders when I stopped saying yes to everybody. And that's a challenge, I think, mostly, and I'm going to do generality, but if you have more of the female energy or you happen to be female, we tend to say yes. We want to serve. We want to be helpful. We want to change the world. So we say yes to everything. And what happens is then you have no room for you. So part of what I use discovery calls for, honestly, is to find out if they're a right fit for me. It's really about me. They think that they're interviewing me. I'm interviewing them. And so it's a perfect opportunity to ask the questions you need to ask to make sure you're working with the right type of client based on how you want to work with them. So I'm a bit of a contrarian. I'm one that I believe your business should be built around who you want to work with, you want to work with, when you want to work with them, how you want to work with them, and you get to determine how they need to show up to have the best ROI with you. A little bit different than an avatar. And so that's what discovery calls are to me, is I use my webpage to weed out on one level by putting prices start at or investment starts at. That's one weeding out. The second is the types of questions I ask. And then the third line of defense is on the phone. And usually by the time I get them on the phone, it's a pretty much a yes. So it's more logistics and me weeding them in and out or truly telling them if I'm not the right person for the job. But bottom line, even if they don't say yes, you've created a raving fan if you do your discovery call right.
Mm. Do you ever say no? Like they see the page, they still put in the application, you get the form, they've booked a call, and you cancel the call before it ever makes it that far?
Yes, absolutely. So why I like applications before a call is I can kind of preview who it is. And I have questions on there in such a way to know, like, for example, I don't work with beginning businesses. I don't work with people that just have an idea and want to put it online. I work with established business owners. So based on the questioner, I can already know ahead of time if they're going to be right for me or not. And so I'll usually email them back and have, you know, here's what I see when I look at your, just make sure I'm understanding. Right now, that's not who I'm currently working with. But what I can do is make an email introduction to someone who I think you'd be an amazing fit with. And then heart-centered apprentice, I usually find someone that I feel is a good fit for them, and I do an email and match it up. I've had people use, you know, and this happens in this time of world. Bots aren't actually getting through, but people want to sell you something come through. And then I'll just email them back saying, this is not appropriate. We're not getting on a call. Yeah. So I have. If someone says they like Brussels sprouts, I am not taking the call. So that's how that works. And I do put those questions on there. By the way,
I love it. You know, and I think people who are new, they get nervous about like, oh, but if I like am really clear about who I want to work with, then I'm going to like just cut out all these other people. You know, it's like the whole issue of I just want to serve everyone. And I'm scared if I like narrow my focus down to this tiny little niche that there's not going to be enough clients to fill the books.
We all have that fear. And we've all heard the riches are in the niches, and we're all like, that's poo when we first hear about it. Oh, it's true. And here's why. So I'm just going to tell you, what it does for you is it helps you focus who you want to work with. And then the language on your page is so much more focused. You have more clarity who you're speaking to. And that resonates through from who you're serving before you're even selling to, all the way through to the final sell and nurturing them afterwards. So I think that makes a difference.
And also I think your business runs more efficiently because if you're working with just the same type of people, you know, you're not trying to be like, oh, I'm going to have to be this for this person and this for this person. You know, it becomes more of, it's horrible to say, but a bit more of a factory. If you're working with the same type of person with the same issues, you know, with the same typical journey, you know, it's much quicker and more efficient to help them get to where they need to go.
It does. It is. And I don't know about those of you who do discovery calls and are doing discovery calls. We need, when that person gets on the phone with us, we need to relate to them. They are amazingly unique and fabulous in what they do. But we know at our core, there are still certain core issues wrong that we're going to be talking about. So those stay the same. We're just not going to tell them, yeah, you're like everybody else. No, we can let them know they're not alone in their problem. But they need to feel that what they have is absolutely the most precious thing. And they need to talk about it a little bit. So if you're truly working and trying to attract the people that light you up and you start saying no to the things that don't, your whole mental energy is going to change. And again, it's not saying no, it's referring them to someone who does like what you like to do. For example, been doing Kajabi a long time, been doing builds a long time. I find website builds or bringing over their website extremely boring. It doesn't light me up because there's no creativity, but you give me a sales funnel, I've got goosebumps all day long. So I figured out by saying yes at first what I didn't like to do. So when I do talk with someone and they just want a website build, I let them know I am not the best person for you. Kim, you're just telling them no, you're not going to take a sale? Shock. I actually would be doing the best job for them. I have someone in mind that I can refer you to that truly will deliver on this in a way that although I can, I shouldn't. Because there are jobs that we, what is it? You can, can't, or won't do. And there's certain things I won't do. And I stick with the things that light me up. And it does make a difference.
Absolutely. Now, for those people who get this right, Kimmy, well, at least the first part's right. They get the page right. They get the form right. They get the people to the call who could be their perfect fit person. What's the ratio of people who probably will say yes? Is there a ratio? Like if I need like 5 clients in a month, how many calls do I need to have?
It depends. I know, but I just don't leave it at that. So you can get all the right people. You can get everything coming through and you're like, all right, what are my numbers? Well, before we even talk about that, are you tracking? So in the beginning, people would say, so about how many people when you get on the phone with them do you, you know, and I'm going to use old sales language, but do you close? And I'd be like, oh, about 50%. You just kind of guess. That's what it feels like. Or you may go, oh, I hardly do any at all. It's horrible. If you don't really know, you're doing yourself a disservice. So start tracking your calls. And all it is what was held, who said yes, who said no. And you're going to track those. And there's called a winning calculator or the win ratio. And it's for games, but it actually works really well for you to plug in. Okay, I had 13 calls held and 6 said no and 7 said yes. And then I plug it in there and it gives me my running ratio of what my close percentage is. So until you even know what it is, it's kind of hard to go, well, this is what you need. So I'm going to back it out. Can I do an exercise with you?
Sure.
Okay. Let's say, and I'm going to give Stella. She has her business and
I know Stella.
You know Stella? I know. Stella's one of my personalities. No, I'm kidding. So let's say you have Stella and Stella wants to make $6,500 a month. And what I usually would tell Stella is take your favorite package. How much is that? And let's say it's $997. Divide $6,500 by that. How many packages then each month do you need to sell? And let's say it's 4. So that it was like 3.2 something something. So 4. She needs to sell 4 of those in order to make $6,500. Okay, great. So what? You know that number, but how do we figure out how to get to that number? So what we do is once you know your ratio, so let's say she's at 57%. So again, it's that, you know, out of so many calls, she's been on average a little over half, she's closing. So you go to your win calculator and you say, I need 4 and I know my percentage. That means I need 7 calls to make that happen. So if she wants in a pipeline, regular $6,500 a month, she needs about 7 discovery calls a month that will filter out to an average of those 4. And that's what's going to get her where she's at. Does it happen perfect that way? No. But she at least knows if she's hitting or not. And your goal then stops becoming, what's my ratio? What number? Like, do I want to make 6,500? It starts going into how many people do I need to connect with that are the right people to get them on a call with me? Well, I need 7. So what am I doing every day to either bring in leads or make those sales? And so that's when it comes to numbers. And so your numbers are your numbers. Even if they're poo at first, it's still a number. Even 0 is letting you know what's happening. Even saying, I held the call and they said no, dude, that's a win. It's a win because you learn from it. And over time, you'll get better at the call and your ratio will go up. It will. It's just you get better at it. And then you need less calls coming in per month. So you're not working as hard.
And then all of a sudden your numbers will change because it'll be like, you'll have to add a few columns to that spreadsheet where it was like, had the call, they said no, or they said yes, or I said no. You know, it's like, it wasn't about them. Like, I interviewed them and I turned them down.
Yes. So my spreadsheet now has a column of, did I recommend someone else? Did I outsource or did I say no? Just so I know if it's a no, was it me or was it them? Is it you or is it me? So, you know, because that's power too. And then I put who I refer them to, you know, so I can look back and go, I've impacted people's lives. I've sent people other places. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. All right, Kimmy, 2 more questions for you before I let you go. Now, the first one is, how can we up the ratio, like the winning ratio? Is there anything that we can do on the call to, you know, like, maybe like give them a quick win or something that would like encourage them to become a yes? And then my second question, is there like a framework that you work through when you're on a discovery call, or do you just like wing it?
Ah, so you'll have to remind me of the second question because the brain injury.
Okay, pick whichever one you want.
Okay, so let's talk about the framework first. So yes, because at first I was winging it. And then I realized there were specific questions I needed to ask to get what I needed out of it to say yes or no. I do. I work with the framework. And when they get on the call, first the questioner helps a lot because it helps me know how I'm going to, the questions I'm going to ask. So I actually, for me, and just so the audience knows, I happen to have a brain injury. And so it actually has been a blessing because it helped me in this discovery call process because I had to write down all the questions I might want to ask. And then I go through and highlight the ones that I want to ask for the specific person or add new ones. I created SOPs before I knew what SOPs were. So I have a framework and I have a certain kind of questions. And so I start with, of course, there's welcome and introduction. Hey, how are you? And you get, you'd all like to know where they're from, who referred them. And we do a little chit chatty. And then I usually kind of say, well, let me explain how the call is going to go. And so I explained that I'm going to tell them a little bit about me, so they, because they might not know me from Adam. I'm going to share my expertise, and I'm going to ask them some questions about them and their business so I can find out if I'm the right person to help them. And so it's kind of like in a nutshell how that starts out. And so then when I ask them to introduce themselves, it's more of like, if they have something very specific on the, how can I help you with creating a sales page that converts, or how can I help you put your membership online, or how can I help you with your accounting needs, you know, your bookkeeping needs, whatever it is you want. I don't know why I'm picking accounting today, probably because I just did my taxes. I'm just saying. But, and then let them talk and then shut up and pull and glean out what you can, because a lot of times what we'll find is people come to you with one thing in mind, but what they need is something else. And you're going to speak to both. And so after they've talked, it's like, great. Repeat back to them. So here's what I heard. Is it okay if I ask you some questions around your business? Now, they just reached out to you. You're the expert. They're thinking, well, duh, but it's nice to be able to say, and you can say, like, I warned them, you know, can I ask you some really honest, hard-hitting questions that might be a little uncomfortable? So that's mine in the longer form. And they're like, absolutely. And then depending on what they need from you and what they're asking, my questions are designed to actually, because I've gone in and I've done the research before the call, and I've looked for me in Kajabi, I've looked at their site, I've looked at who they are, I've done some research. I've looked on there, and I've looked to see, oh, do they have, how many call to actions do they have? Is it confusing? Is there something above in their hero section that's not right? What can I do to get them a quick win on the call? Plus, I ask that on my questionnaire. Is there anything I can help you with on the call? You know, let me know. And so some of my questions lead around that, so I can get them a quick win on, hey, so what's the number one outcome you, when the person lands on your page, what's the number one action you want them to take? Is it to, and I look and I go, is it to book the call? Is it to download the lead mag? I'm looking at all the different things. Is it to go to your podcast? Is it to go to your blog? What's the number one thing you want them to do? And they're like, want anyone to think that way. So you've just blown sometimes people's minds. And then they tell you, and all you ask is, when you look at your page, do you think it hits that goal? And they're like, oh, so let me recommend that you, no, you just recommend, like, oh, mind blown. Or it could be, hey, I noticed when I landed on your page, or when I looked at your books, or however you did this, that there's no call to action to buy or book or do anything. Maybe you put something there. And then you just kind of ask them the rest of your questions around what it is you need, but you've just given them a couple quick wins. You've also demonstrated your superpower in action. Someone may say, I want more leads, but I don't want to do social media. So then you talk to them about that. You give them some of your special sauce. You showcase maybe some of your framework, get them unstuck. And you can say, but that's something that, you know, we can dive into deeper. And you'd be accepted when we work together, if we decide to, if I decide to work with you.
I decide to work with you. Very important.
Yeah. I mean, so it depends on how sassy I'm feeling that day, people. And here's the thing, be you on that call. I used to have my webpage almost had one persona. My discovery call had another persona. And then when they work with me, they found out I was like a crazy hot mess and fabulous. So now my page shows I love Jesus and to cuss a little. My questionnaire is sassy. And when they're on with me. They get who I am. And that's what they fall in love with, because there are a lot of people that probably do what you do, but they're buying you. And it's not that you have to sell. So take away selling. You want connection over compensation, because here's what's going to happen. If you're asking the right questions, and you can even filter in some of your red flag questions to help weed them out, but you're going to repeat back to them and say, so if I hear you right, in the next 90 days, you want X, Y, Z, or wow, we covered a lot. In the next 90 days, what would you, if you had to pick from there?
Let me interrupt. How much more enjoyable is your business when you can just show up as yourself? Because, like, I remember in the beginning, like, oh, I'm going to have my makeup done, and like, I need to be just like fully on my game and all this like preparation. I'm going to have to go into every discovery call. I mean, now I'm recording a podcast episode with you, Kimmy, and I've got this giant fishbowl of gin and tonic in front of me for anybody who is not seeing the visual on this over on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know, but when I got to the point in my business where I was like, oh, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to turn up as myself, and people are either going to want to work with me or they're not going to want to work with me, in which case I don't want to work with them if they don't want to work with me, you know, because they're just going to make my life a complete headache. You know, it's just, you know, I got into business for myself to have a business that I enjoyed. And if you start working with people who don't really like the fact that you drink a gin and tonic while you're on a Zoom call, then you're probably not going to enjoy working with them. You know, not to say that everyone drinks a gin and tonic on a Zoom call, but you get my point.
I do. And there is something to it. And I think that's what COVID, one of the blessings was, more people realized you're working from home. The dogs are going to bark. You're probably going to wear a hat. The kids might be in the background. And for me, most of my calls now, I have a hat on, hardly any makeup. I'm just talking with them. I am meeting them as real people. And if that bothers them, great, not my person. If they don't have a great sense of humor, not my person. Not that they might not be a wonderful client, but I'm like, eh. Your energy capacity is too precious to hang out with people you don't want to hang out with, because that's going to lead to you resenting them. Even though you said yes, you're going to resent them. And this is what also leads to burnout. So there's so many things you can do in a discovery call, and why I love them is you're weeding so many people in and out based on who you want to hang out with, whether it's for that day, whether it's over you're doing a project. Who do you want to hang out with? Who is like someone you're like, oh, we are like, kismet. There's other questions and other people that actually work. So I had someone though who was like flat affect on the call. And what that means is they're like, yeah, yes. You know, just answering the questions. And man, I realized I do try to match. So I don't come in like a whirlish devil woman, but I was like, wow, they're not laughing at my jokes, man. They're funny. No,
what's wrong with them?
I know, right? They're dead inside. But I'm telling you what was, is she was nervous being on camera. She was also neurodivergent, and I was not recognizing that at the time that that was a thing. And she ended up being one of the best clients because through asking other, because I was going to say no about halfway through, but I'm telling you, she was the other part of the equation that I love. She was a fast action taker. I gave her assignments to do. Dang it, she would do it yesterday. She was responsive. She was a delight. And she did warm up once she got to know me. So you can't always trust. So that's why I say you do also have to go with your gut. I call it the gitch. You do have to go with your gut. And if your gut, if everything looks great on the call and everything in your gut screaming no, say no. Go with the gut. Because you'll still say yes to people that look great in a call. They're going to be a hot mess when you're working with them. And then it's a wonderful decision on how do you extricate yourself and get them to someone else. Because just because it's your red flag doesn't mean it's someone else's. Or do you go, I'm going to grit my teeth, get through this, and then not say yes to them ever again.
Oh, Kimmy, I love talking to you, which is probably how we ended up starting the Heart-Centered Apprentice together. And for anybody who might be listening to this, who's thinking they'd like to pursue a career as a Kajabi specialist, well, you could hang out with Kimmy and I for like a year or 2 years, or 3 years. You get Kimmy's complete framework.
And have coffee, tea, gin.
That's right. All our crazy overseas adventures and cocktails on the beach and all the things that go into making for an enjoyable business. For those of you who might be Kajabi specialists or just wanting to do something with your amazing Kajabi skills that you have, you should definitely look us up inside of the program. And Kimmy, I think I could actually probably record an entire series with you on different topics. We should talk about that. Like maybe next season should just be the Meg and Kimmy season of the Kajabi Verse.
I think it should. I love it. I would love it because there is, the two of us together bring a wealth of knowledge and background and stories. And yeah, that's the hard part when you're like, would be on a podcast. I'm like, what are we going to talk about? And even discovery calls, there's so much, but honestly, so for those of you, don't be afraid of them. Just be you. Write down a couple of questions that you want to ask that really would help you know if they're a red light or a green light, or to help you clarify to work with them. Just focus on that. And the magic question at the end is you don't have to say and try to sell them. You can say, hey, can I send your proposal? And if they say yes, great. If they say no, thank them for their time and that you're going to be there in the future, but hopefully they got something out of the call. And then for both of them, email them, whether it's a yes or a no, recap a little of the call. And for the person who said no, just remind them that you're there when they need you. And if they can think of anybody else, maybe send them a little something, something that they don't have to opt into. for their business, thanking them. For the person who said yes, just let them know you'll be sending them a proposal and to keep their eye out for it. That's actually another magic thing, because I've had a lot of people, and these are people that have said no to me, that in a year, this last year, I had 5 people come back that I had a call with over a year ago that said no. They will remember you. And when they go to other people, because they're shopping around, no one's going to show up like you did. You're going to stand out.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you so much, Kimmy, for everything that you have shared this past half hour. Now, for someone who is listening, who is thinking, I need more Kimmy in my life, like, where should they go to connect with the Kimmy Brown?
So it's really difficult. Mm-hmm. It's Kimmy, K-I-M-I, brown.com.
So if you guys head on over there, if you see something of Kimmy's that you like, you might just get on a discovery call with Kimmy. So
absolutely.
I will put the link.
Or if you think you might be a trusted referral partner, jump on that call.
Absolutely. So I will put the links below this episode. Oh, someone's alarm's going off. Am I holding you up for something, Kimmy? Are you meant to be somewhere?
Yeah. Obviously, I needed another drink. No, sorry.
It's only coffee o'clock where you are. So you go and get a coffee. I'll go get a G&T refill. And I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode of the Kajabiverse podcast. And we look forward to seeing you in season 2 when we talk all day long with Kimmy Brown.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me. And I love speaking to everybody on the podcast.
Bye, guys. I hope you enjoyed our podcast episode on discovery calls as a way to fill your calendar with clients and students that you truly want to work with. Now, if you're curious to hear more about the Heart-Centered Apprentice program, head to heartcenteredapprentice.com and click apply. I'll see you soon for our next episode of the Kajabiverse.